One man says the greatest threat to our republic isn't a foreign country, it's the out-of-control progressive movement.
There's a lot of talk about America being a leader in, as a democracy, quote-unquote, in the 1800s when women and African Americans couldn't vote. What kind of democracy is that?
Oh, that's exactly right. And that's when I hear these things about let's make America great again. And I think to myself, well, exactly when did you think America was great? It certainly wasn't when people were enslaved. It certainly wasn't when women didn't have the right to vote. It certainly wasn't when the LGBT community was denied the rights to which it was entitled.
Does that phrase echo as discrimination in your ears?
It takes us back to, I think, an American past that never, in fact, really existed, this notion of greatness.
Today, Jan Markell begins a two-part series with Michelle Bachmann, who ran for President of the United States in 2012. Michelle's insights into Washington, current events, and Bible prophecy are shared on this program regularly. Michelle is a part of President Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board. You will not hear the kind of information shared for the next 2 weeks anywhere else. Here's Jan Markell and Michelle Bachmann.
Welcome to the program. So glad you could join me. You know, we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective. And you heard that little opening clip by a former Attorney General Eric Holder. That is what America's left thinks, that America is not great, probably never was great. And until they get in control and turn this country into a godless socialist paradise, it will never be great. It will just be a homophobic, racist, Islamophobic nation run by corrupted capitalism and only spreading the wealth around, ridding the country of faith and freedom and turning it over to godless atheists will allow us to be a shining city on a hill. Well, that is called end-time delusion run amok. And if we didn't have biblical reminders that the last days would be perilous and evil would be called good, Christians could lose heart. Now, we must not. We must be salt. We must be light. We must delay the decay until he comes. We'll talk about this and much more for the next couple of programs with my in-studio guest, the familiar voice of Michelle Bachmann, who represented Minnesota's 6th District for a number of years. Michelle, so glad you could come back in.
Thank you, Jan. It's always a privilege.
Well, last time we talked, actually it was right before the midterm elections. We recorded way late October, early November. So much I want to get to here in the programming. But let me just, you were a member of Congress 2006 until early 2015. And I want to ask you, we have three new representatives in the House, Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Rashida Tlaib. And they've gotten huge attention. They've gotten acclaim. They've gotten scorn. You were in Congress. In your memory, have you ever seen new members be treated like this? I mean, in an amazing way, particularly sort of the acclaim coming their way.
Well, there's always a few in every freshman class that seem to make a mark, but this is decidedly different because their faces and their voices represent really the two things that happened during the 2018 race. And those two things that happened was the Democrat Party's mainstream embrace of what was considered a fringe view of government, which is socialism, which is more of a totalitarian view of government. And that's what they represent, essentially the economic and cultural Marxism mm-hmm. that's been in our country, but not mainstream. Now is embraced as mainstream. They've given voice in a mainstream way to what was a fringe voice. That's been very different view. Also, they embrace the view of censorship, quite honestly. The censorship that we're seeing that's coming through our big tech media, and they want to push and enforce censorship on speech, which we haven't seen before. Americans generally understood that we enjoy freedom of speech protections under the First Amendment. And these new people that are coming in with a different view that says First Amendment speech applies to speech that we agree with. Mm-hmm. If we don't agree with your speech, you don't get First Amendment protections. That's a very different view than we've seen before.
Well, you referenced kind of the new mood in the Democrat Party, and of course many of them are now embracing the so-called Democrat socialism, which is frankly just nothing but socialism, which, you know, after Barack Obama, shouldn't be a surprise to any of us that the party has moved so far far left like this, but I saw a headline here recently. Headline said, Democrats would sooner destroy America than lose to Donald Trump in 2020. And I think headlines like that trouble your average American person, who your average American person still loves America. We start seeing headlines that certainly there are some in the Democrat Party leadership who truly would rather see the country go down than give any honor, credibility, another election to Donald Trump. This is hard to wrap our brains around.
Well, you're right. It's very hard. As a matter of fact, I think let's talk about an actual example. One example would be AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who's one of the freshmen, who exemplifies this whole view of Marxism coming into the mainstream in the Democrat Party. What is it that she's known for? The so-called Green New Deal. What is the Green New Deal? It has very little to do, practically nothing to do with clean water or clean air. What it has to do with the biggest power grab that government has ever had over our personal lives. Why is it when someone like AOC starts to talk about Green New Deal that it means more taxes and more control for government with no output on clean rivers or clean air? So they have nothing to do with each other. So that's what her example is. But the formula for gaining that is Marxism. And that's what we're seeing them put forward.
Do you think, Michelle Bachmann, do you think there's any credible candidate on the left
for
president?
To date, no. Because again, it depends on what your end goal is. For the left, they think this Green New Deal, they think that all of their wild ideals when it comes to the sexual revolution and the government insistence on so many of these areas that we disagree with, they think that end goal is positive. Now, you compare that to the living laboratory right now of the country of Venezuela.
Right.
Venezuela had one of the highest per capita incomes in the world, had a fantastic lifestyle in 1943. It was really a paradise in many ways. Today, it's descended into a hellhole where some reports say that people are living as though they were in the Middle Ages. There aren't power outages. Russia has been sending people in because the country has devolved into absolute chaos. So that's a living laboratory of what AOC and her comrades want to do here in the United States. That's the fruit of socialism, Venezuela. That is the real-time example of what Bernie Sanders and all these people on the left want to have. But that's not America. For the America that we have known, and again, America is the longest running constitutional republic in the history of the world. There is no older constitutional republic or one that's lasted as long as the United States of America. That's because we were built undoubtedly, without a shadow of a doubt, on godly principles by godly men and women who look to the Bible as their inspiration. That's a fact. That's not an opinion. That is a fact. That is not the view of America that the AOC types of the world want to see. That is not how they see America. Their policy prescriptions are in line with Venezuela's. Yep. And again, we have that living laboratory of what you get with socialism. Mm-hmm. So for them, Venezuela is a raving success story. We look at that and say, but people are miserable. They're suffering. They're dying. Why would you do that to people? They don't care what the end result is. They only care about the type of system they want to put in place. And isn't it interesting? Every time their system takes away control from people and puts it in the hands of government versus God's view of government, which was take the control away from a tyrannous centralized government and put the maximum amount of control and authority into the hands of individuals, the family, the church, and social institutions.
Oh, Mark Levin, and I've got several quotes by Mark today. He says, the greatest threat to our Constitution and to the Republic isn't a foreign country. It's the whole progressive movement. These people they're very, very troubling. As a matter of fact, there's even a new movement. It's called Jexodus. It's Jews who are leaving the Democrat Party. And of course, they've been loyal to the Democrat Party since the 1940s. You know what, folks? The Democrat Party right now is on overdose with anti-Semitism, with anti-Israelism, with anti-Netanyahu, with anti-anything that stands for Judaism. Let me just play this short clip.
President Trump slamming the Democrats for failing to take tougher action against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's anti-Semitic remarks.
The Democrats have become an anti-Israel party. They've become an anti-Jewish party.
And a group of Jewish millennials called Jexodus agrees. They are encouraging Jewish Americans to walk away from the Democratic Party.
The group says, quote, "We reject the hypocrisy, anti-Americanism, and anti-Semitism of the rising far left. Progressive Democrats and far too many old school Jewish organizations take our support for granted." Here with more on the movement is former Trump campaign staffer and Jexodus spokesperson, Elizabeth Pipko. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's start at the beginning. Jexodus means what?
Obviously, it's a play on Exodus, but we left Egypt and now we're leaving the Democratic Party.
Why did you decide to do this and start this movement?
I thought it was time. Obviously, we saw a lot of anti-Israel policies kind of start under the Obama administration. It got worse and worse, and clearly we've seen it. It's been plastered on our TV screens the last month. There's anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party. They can hide it. They can do whatever they want. They failed to condemn it, and now it's there. So it's time.
Elizabeth, how much does this hurt the Democratic Party, the fact that it sounded like we were going to have a resolution voted on in the floor, non-binding, perhaps with Congresswoman Omar's name on it, and then at the 11th hour, because of all the pressure from the party's left, they wound up not naming her, and it was not about anti-Semitism, it was just generally about hate across the board.
I mean, the scariest part, obviously, was not the original anti-Semitism. It was the lack of leadership coming into play when they were supposed to come into play, condemn what happened, and they failed. Mm-hmm. So not only did the anti-Semitism that started with Ilhan Omar get worse and worse, you know, by proving that she had supporters in her own party, but when the leadership fails to condemn that, it shows that they are a party of anti-Semitism. You know, mm-hmm. The president said it the other day. That's what's happening, and they can't deny it anymore.
Michelle, you went to Congress back in 2006. Did you ever expect to see something like this, a Jexodus?
No, because Israel was always a bipartisan
issue. It was bipartisan, exactly.
And the organization AIPAC, which is the American-Israel Political Action Committee, they have de-emphasized differences between the two parties, and they've emphasized the unity that both Democrats and Republicans had over Israel. Inevitably, you would find presidential candidates on both Republican and Democrat seeking to speak before the AIPAC conference because they wanted to get their bona fides established that they were pro-Israel. It's been just an article of faith This country has historically been a pro-Israel country. And again, I want to go back to our prior conversation that we had that the most important building block in any society and in America in particular is the magnificent cultural and religious foundation that is the basis of any society. If you look at the outworking of any society, whether it's Venezuela, Israel, Russia, Pakistan, or the United States, you have to look at what is the religious base of that nation, what is the cultural basis, and what we take too lightly and have held too lightly and we've taken for granted the magnificent foundation that the United States was built upon. That's what we've seen essentially jackhammered in this 2018 election by those on the extreme left is jackhammering the very foundation of this country. One of those building blocks is the Judeo-Christian bloc that we stand for biblical values and we stand for the pro-Israel, bipartisan pro-Israel perspective in this country. And just like that, in a matter of less than 60 days, with this incoming, never seen before embrace of radical anti-American socialistic values, isn't it interesting that those values have included a virulent strain of anti-Semitism? And so the lemmings on the left, meaning the followers on the left, have quickly jettisoned or cast aside this pro-Israel perspective. And now the Democrat Party, led by Nancy Pelosi in the House of Representatives, threw the Jews under the bus with this resolution. Because again, it was not just one comment, but comment after comment after comment of anti-Semitism by this one particular Muslim congresswoman. Actually, both Muslim congresswomen have made one anti-Semitic statement after another. And she went too far. There had to be a response at the national level. Everyone assumed that she would be removed from the Foreign Affairs Committee. Everyone assumed that there would be a resolution that condemned her because there was another resolution prior to that condemning another person in Congress. So they thought for sure this would happen. And then, bam, ba, bam, overnight, in a matter of 2 days, this This resolution was rewritten to throw everything in the kitchen sink to make the perpetrator, the victim, that she was a victim of, quote, Islamophobia or any other hate. In other words, they rendered this resolution meaningless. It was meaningless. So the Jews were thrown under the bus, and almost immediately the APEC conference came around the corner. And every single year, I've been there year after year after year at this conference, and Democrats, Republicans go up to the microphone and talk about their love for Israel, their support for Israel, how they stand for Israel. And because somehow these Muslim members of Congress had made it appear that support for Israel was actually a Republican virtue, which it has never been before, then all of a sudden, the candidates for president on the Democrat side all announced one after another in a matter of a couple hours' time, oh, I won't be attending the APEC conference. I don't want to seek the support of the Jewish contingency in APEC. And that was astounding, that those on the Democrat side, many of whom have received financial donations, they've received backing from Jewish individuals, Jewish organizations, Jewish donors. Now they threw all that under the bus because it was considered to be the cool kid on the block to diss Israel. That happened literally in a matter of a couple days and literally in a couple of hours when it came to the Democrat candidates for president. They aren't even fair weather friends. They are false friends to the Jewish state.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here. I have in studio familiar voice Michelle Bachman. She joins me 2-3 times a year with a little bit of update on current events. We try to tie them to the Bible. We also try to tie them to the fact that the king is coming sooner rather than later. We'll talk about that as we move more and more into the programming. And Michelle, I don't want to dwell at length about it, but I certainly want to touch on it with you here in studio with me. And that is, the Bible speaks a lot of end time lawlessness. And you and I know that's going to really manifest in the tribulation, that the tribulation is casting a huge shadow on us even today. But who would have ever thought that those, particularly on the left, would be literally obsessed with a duly elected president trying to get him out of office? And these folks will not rest until they drive Donald Trump with resignation, impeachment, even death in office. That's all they can think about. And thus, the American public has gone through a 22-month ordeal involving 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, 2,800 subpoenas, 500 search warrants, 500 witnesses in this collusion delusion. How, and we might have to pick this up in my next segment, but how did our intelligence community get so corrupted?
Well, it isn't that the community is corrupt. It's the individuals who are put into the highest positions of power were corrupt. And I think one of the most laughable comments actually was CIA Director Brennan, who had said, oh, I must have gotten bad information. When it came out, when the Mueller report cleared Donald Trump, and when we realized that a hoax had been perpetrated on the American people for 2 years, as you said so well, the only response of the guy who was the lead heckler at the PAC, CIA Director Brennan, was to say, well, I guess I must have gotten bad information. You're the guy who generates the information. You're the head of the CIA. That's what intelligence is. You go out and you gather information on what's happened. You created the evidence, the false evidence that was used to bring up a phony case against the president of the United States. Even worse than that, the previous administration, the Obama administration, used the FBI, the CIA, and other instrumentalities of the federal government to make a false claim against Donald Trump, who is running for president of the United States, against Hillary Clinton, who is in Barack Obama's party. So he was using the government and all the means of government to spy on a candidate on the other side and then use phony false information to make a case in federal court, essentially, against the then sitting president, Donald Trump. We've never seen anything like this before. This has never happened before. That's why we need to shine a spotlight on the Obama administration and the very small circle of people who tried to pull off this heist of the American election. They tried to steal the election. In fact, they called this their insurance policy. Yeah. In case Hillary Clinton couldn't win on her own, they wanted an insurance policy to make sure Donald Trump had no chance of winning because they were using the FBI and the CIA against Donald Trump. Then they made up a fake, phony, false story that he was colluding with the Russians to hack into the election and throw the election, when in fact it was just the opposite. Hillary Clinton had paid for a phony memo filled with lies that the FBI then used as its basis of its investigation. The whole thing was made up and it was a lie. You can't even believe this would happen, but what you just said is right. This is a level of lawlessness,
lawlessness
in broad daylight by the president, the former President Obama, by the former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, by the head of the FBI James Comey, by the head of the CIA John Brennan. If somebody pitched this movie to a Hollywood producer, you'd say, forget it. Nobody'd believe that. But it happened.
Well, I want to ask you a question. I'm going to ask it to you in my second segment, which we're heading into in just a minute or two. But I want to ask you this question, is how powerful is this deep state? And then beyond that, what is the deep state? Folks, we'll talk about that when I come back, coming back in just a moment. Don't forget, I'm heading to Toronto, Canada, Saturday, May 11th. I hope to see Olive Tree followers there. And that'll be the Awaiting His Return conference on Saturday, May 11th at Church on the Queensway. Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Barry Stagner, yours truly. I'm waiting for word on whether it's going to be live streamed or not. And we'll have that info for you in another couple of weeks. Tickets, beholdisrael.org, beholdisrael.org, $15. I hope you'll go and check them out and that I'll meet you in Toronto. I'm back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you are finding this information informative. Stay up to date on the tide of our times on our website, olivetreeviews.org, on weekly radio, by visiting our YouTube channel, found under Jan Markell, by reading daily articles and headlines posted to our website, and by attending our annual conference. We also offer a print and e-newsletter. We know you lead busy lives. If you can't catch the program on air, we post it to our website, olivetreeviews.org, and to our YouTube channel on Saturday morning. More with Jan and Michelle in a moment.
Olive Tree Ministries is carrying a new book by Douglas Stauffer and Andrew Ray, Reviving the Blessed Hope of Thessalonians. I did not think I would see the day when we would have to have a discussion about reviving our hope in the rapture of the church. Something that has to be revived has often expired, and yes, discussion of the pre-trib rapture of the church has been on life support. Find this excellent book in our store at olivetreeviews.org, in our print and e-newsletter, or you can call us Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. This ministry is committed to helping the entire church to keep looking up and expecting His return, even if vast portions of the church have little interest in doing that. We will keep reminding you that the trumpet and the shout could happen even today, and I promise you, you don't want to be left behind. Check out Reviving the Blessed Hope today.
He used money out of the United States Treasury, funneling it through phony organizations in Israel to actually defeat the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now think of that. He actually used our government to hire people actively on the ground to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu with U.S. tax money.
We love getting feedback from listeners. Tell us how you listen. We air on well over 800 radio stations now all across North America. You can write us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Write us through our website, olivetreeviews.org, or call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Remember, you can listen to the program on your phone by downloading the OnePlace.com mobile app. Now back to Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman.
The President of the United States, Donald Trump, will be remembered in the Middle East for 1,000 years. He will be remembered by our enemies as the enemy. And he will be remembered by our friends as the great Donald Trump. You see, they view him quite differently than CNN and MSNBC and the New York Times and the Washington Post and all the rest of them. The relationship between Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu is unparalleled. Unparalleled. It's unequal. And will the liberals in Israel throw Bibi Netanyahu out the way the left threw out Churchill after World War II? Will we, the American people, throw Donald Trump out, who stands between us and the insanity on the left?
And welcome back. And we're talking a little bit this hour about the insanity on the left, leftist lunacy. First segment, we discussed some of those issues a little bit. We've got some new congresspeople in office that are a little bit troubling in what they espouse. And I kind of went out of my first segment saying that when we come back into this segment, I wanted to talk to Michelle Bachman, and she's my guest for the hour. She'll be back next weekend as well. I want to ask her a little bit more about the deep state. We keep hearing about the deep state. Michelle, help us understand the deep state. I don't know how powerful they are, but I'm getting the impression that they really control things, both sides of the aisle. Republicans, Democrats, members of the deep state. This is what Donald Trump is pushing back against 24/7, 365. All of us are concerned about how much power they have. Can he ever make any headway as long as the deep state is entrenched as they are?
Well, think of what the challenge is that Donald Trump or any president would have. And the challenge is this. There are literally millions and millions of permanent employees in the federal government. And these permanent employees, some of them are made civil servants so that they have a lifetime job. And ones have been put in to very sensitive positions so they can stay there forever. It's like a tenured professor. Yep. So they can stay there. And many of them that are in there have the ideas and mindset and ideology, if you will, of these three new female freshmen in the Democrat Congress. So they're coming in with a mindset that is at odds with the American Constitution and the American way of life. There are people who are in the permanent bureaucracy, permanent government employees, and if they have positions of power in, let's say, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, or perhaps they're in the State Department, or they're in another department in the federal government, they have access to information. Many of them are actively full-time sabotaging the orders and directives of the President of the United States. So Donald Trump, for instance, will have an order and directive regarding Israel. And there may be people that are in the State Department who want to undermine and undo what it is that Donald Trump wants. Maybe they will slow walk what he said. So rather than implement immediately, they'll wait, or maybe they'll undermine in another way. I'll give you one actual example that occurred. A friend of mine was appointed as a cabinet secretary in Donald Trump's government. And he told me that he was undermined by the deep state because somebody who was a permanent employee picked up a phone and called a reporter and said, ask for this particular page in a Freedom of Information Act request. So look at this page and ask for this particular item. Well, nobody would know that unless you were an employee in the government. The point is, they were suggesting that this cabinet secretary had misused his travel vouchers. That never happened. Every single travel item that this cabinet secretary did had been pre-approved by the ethics department in that cabinet. But they wanted to raise the question that maybe something was wrong. Well, the media went wild and wrote stories that this cabinet secretary had misused his travel when in fact he hadn't. And it was lie after lie after lie. But it was people within government who were telling the lies from what was presumed a position of authority and a position of truth, but it wasn't. They were lies. So the deep state are people who have permanent jobs within the federal government, and there are millions of people. Not everyone is against our government who works for the government. Not everyone is a part of the deep state, but you don't need everyone. If you even have just 100 people who are in line with the goals to advance cultural and economic Marxism or to advance the goals of Islamic Jihad, for instance, and they have jobs within the federal government, they can do very serious damage. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what the concern is. If there are people that have permanent jobs in our government who are undermining our government.
Nothing we can do but pray.
Well, we need to pray, but also this is how I pray. I pray according to the scripture, which says we need to pray to expose, ask the Lord to expose the hidden deeds of darkness.
Yes.
And he has remarkable ways of doing this, where you can only say it's the hand of God who exposes the hidden deeds of darkness. And that's one way I would ask your listeners to pray, to please pray that God would expose these hidden deeds of darkness. And he does. Trust him. He will.
A lot of things here still on my mind. 70% of evangelicals apparently continue to support Donald Trump, and that's great. I think, and you and I talked here before this program even began, and you said to me, this isn't a word-for-word quote, but it's pretty close, that what Donald Trump has done in just over 2 years is really more significant than what Ronald Reagan did in his administration. And that's quite a statement. Having said that, there are still plenty of people pushing back against President Trump. My goodness, we still got the Never Trump movement. There are still conservatives that would never think a positive thought about the guy. But tell me why you said to me that what he's done in just about 2 years greater than what the Reagan administration did.
Well, I'm glad that you asked the question, because think of what Donald Trump has labored under. Mm-hmm. From even before the day that he took office, he's had this Russia hoax right over his shoulder. So it's like he's been laboring with a 2-ton weight on his shoulders, like a boulder on his shoulders. Now that's been lifted. He's been cleared by this report. There never was any collusion. That was all a lie. What he has managed to accomplish with the tax bill, which is not only cut taxes, but he promised that he would get rid of 2 regulations for every 1 new regulation that comes in. And I have had more job creators say to me, you know, taxes are one thing. We have to factor in the cost of taxes in every item or service that we sell. So we pass along the cost of the tax. But when it comes to regulations, that means that we may not even be able to manufacture. We may not even be able to produce. It's extremely expensive to be in compliance with government regulations. Many of them are nonsense, or they contradict each other. So Donald Trump has actually gotten rid of 22 regulations for every regulation he's put into place. That's why you see all these companies opening manufacturing plants. We have the greatest manufacturing renaissance going on now that we've had in modern times in America. So we have companies that have moved back to the United States. They're creating more jobs. This is the greatest job market ever for African Americans, the greatest job market ever for Latin Americans, for women, for disabled people, for young people. We've never had more Americans ever in the job force than we do right now. You don't hear this on mainstream media. So that's just on the economic perspective. The president has been overperforming. We have a fine-tuned, a humming economy right now. For items that we are concerned about biblically, this president has done more to advance the pro-life movement and the pro-life cause than any other president has ever done. Just this week, Secretary of State Pompeo had announced the Mexico City policy would be enforced even wider than it had before. The Mexico City policy says not one dime of U.S. taxpayer money will go to pay for foreign abortions. Well, that should be a given, but that isn't the way it was under Barack Obama. We were paying for foreign abortions, abortions of people in other countries. Not only have we said no to that, but now Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State, has said even those nonprofits that are contracting with other nonprofits, mm-hmm. they can't perform abortions. So that policy's gone even further, plus defunding of Planned Parenthood, the largest provider of abortions in America. Planned Parenthood is being exposed for their deeds of darkness, and we're pulling back money from Planned Parenthood as well through the Trump administration. So that's just on the pro-life issue. On the area of religious freedom, we are doing more to advance religious freedom and to protect Christians yes. who are being murdered and persecuted in the Middle East like we have not seen before.
Christians can now flee to America.
That's right.
They couldn't under our previous administration.
It was very, very hard. Barack Obama, practically 99% of the people that he allowed in under the refugee resettlement programs were Muslims, certainly non-Christians. Now that has been completely flipped on its head, and President Trump is now allowing in persecuted Christians, people who are literally are being persecuted, and he's offering them protection in the United States. And perpetrators, almost all of whom are Muslim, are not getting access through the refugee resettlement program. So this is a complete turnaround, but on so many different areas. We've talked about Pastor Andrew Brunson, that the president would not relent until this pastor was released out of Turkey. Now, I spoke to Pastor Brunson myself at the National Prayer Breakfast, and he is back and his ministry has continued. So that's in those two areas. We could go on what the president has done with standing for righteousness in so many areas. One being Barack Obama had demanded and commanded that our military services had to literally go out and recruit people who are transgender to come into the military. Well, it costs about $250,000 to do sex reassignment surgery. Why would you recruit people who would come in and have sex reassignment surgery and be on the sidelines? It It made no sense. So Donald Trump got rid of that mandate and that requirement. He has stood up where most Republicans wouldn't dare to stand up. Donald Trump has had the courage and the fortitude. And I will say to your listeners, in my lifetime, I have never seen a more biblical president than I have seen in Donald Trump. He has so impressed me with what he's done. And we haven't even talked about Israel, what he has done to advance Israel.
So he
is highly biblical. And I would say to your listeners, we will in all likelihood never see a more godly, biblical president again in our lifetimes. So we need to be not only praying for him, we need to support him, in my opinion, in every possible way that we can. Mm.
Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell. I have in studio Michelle Bachman. You hear her on this program frequently giving updates, some Washington insights, and some geopolitical issues that we deal with as well. But Michelle, I want to just hit for a few minutes here. And Michelle will be back next week, so we're going to continue our discussion. But it was 3 years ago, almost to the day, when then-President Barack Obama made this statement, and I want to build on it in just a minute or two.
It gets worse. Just this week, Michelle Bachman actually predicted that I would bring about the biblical end of days. Now, that's a legacy. That's big. I mean, Lincoln, Washington, they didn't do that.
So 3 years ago, you and I did a taping here in the studio, and we talked about some similar issues. We talked about how the clock of Bible prophecy is marching forward. It never stops. And obviously some U.S. presidents play a role in that, some of their policies. And you and I discussed at that time, 3 years ago, almost to the day, how President Barack Obama was advancing prophecy clock. So as we were talking today, I said to you, I kind of want to get your take on just how President Donald Trump could be advancing that clock. And first thing that popped into my mind, and we've got time yet, so we're going to be discussing exactly how U.S.-Israel relations are moving forward, would be some activity. Genesis 12:3, God blesses those who bless Israel. Certainly, Israel's boundaries are being affected, and hopefully in a good way. He's dropped terms like occupied territory, things like that. I think another thing that comes to my mind as we speak is the rush to this one-world system, the rush to this globalism. Chris Donald Trump's pushing back on that. He just keeps saying, I'm a nationalist, I'm not a globalist. Why don't you tell me how you feel Donald Trump is advancing the Bible prophecy clock?
Well, I think that the prophecy clock in the Bible is one that is centered on Jerusalem and centered on Israel. And if you want to know where we're at in history, you look at Jerusalem and then you look at Israel. And the compare and contrast between our former president, Barack Obama, who was anti-Israel in every measure that he took. He wanted to preen about like a peacock and pretend that he was pro-Israel. He wasn't. He was as anti-Israel as you could be, including, many people don't realize, he used money out of the United States Treasury, funneling it through phony organizations in Israel to actually defeat the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, think of that. He actually used our government to hire people actively on the ground, defeat Benjamin Netanyahu with U.S. tax money. That's illegal to do something like that, but that's what he did. That's brazen. Versus Donald Trump, who on his own as a private citizen, he just cut a commercial in favor of Benjamin Netanyahu that was run in Israel so people could see that. He didn't do that with the United States government or the instrumentalities of government. He did that as a private server to stand with the current leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, because he sees that Israel is the only democracy in the Middle East. It is the freest place in the world for any Arab. It is the freest place in the Middle East. It is the freest nation in the Middle East for women. If you're gay, it's the freest place to be. It is the best economy in the Middle East. So Donald Trump has stood up for the boundaries of Israel. He stood up for Jerusalem as a capital. That's where the difference is. He has stood for the boundaries of the land. He hasn't put pressure on the people of Israel to remove themselves from the land, and he has stood up for the capital of Israel. We know that Scripture says that Israel will be a nation that all the nations of the world would come against. Well, why would all the nations of the earth come against a nation that was of no account? Israel is now in its strength, and Donald Trump has helped to strengthen Israel in its current state.
You used a term with me earlier today. I found it to be a fascinating term, and I think I need to discuss it with you. And you talked to me about how everything is being so influenced by this multi-billionaire cabal. First of all, I want you to explain what that is. But secondly, you reminded me that this multi-billionaire cabal all want one thing, global government, which, folks, that in itself is astounding, that the real movers and shakers of this world have one thing in mind. That's a one-world system. Again, that leaps out of the Bible, heavily out of the books of Daniel and Revelation. Revelation 13 paints a picture of one-world government that's crystal clear. Can't mistake it in Revelation 13. Michelle, give me a definition of what you mean here about this multi-billionaire cabal. First of all, who are they?
Well, it's interesting that these billionaires all have, it seems, the same end goal in mind. Billionaires like George Soros, mm-hmm. billionaires like Warren Buffett, mm-hmm. billionaires like Tom Steyer, or even Bill Gates. They all have been on the same page when it comes, for instance, just one example, to advancing the goals of a Planned Parenthood. They're very much a pro-abortion community. They believe in advancing abortion all throughout the world. And yet, at the same time, what's the biggest problem that the West faces? It's a demographic decline. It's not enough people that are being born. And these nations are starting to now thin out and lose populations. And yet, why is it that these billionaires all have the same goal? And the goal is one that mirrors what the Bible predicts will one day come, that there will be a one-world government with a one-world religion. It will be a cashless system mm-hmm. where people will only be able to buy and sell with the mark of the beast that the Bible talks about. It's very clear what that goal is, and it's dominated by control by a very small cabal of people. And so people that have all this money, more money than we've ever seen before, concentrated in very few hands. It's interesting to me that the outcomes they're looking for are fairly similar. And yet, if you look at the UN, which was established in 1945, their end goal has always been the same. They love international government. They love International Criminal Court, for instance, where that court would have sovereignty over all the people of the earth. It's extremely frightening because those values are not in any way in sync with American values. That's why Donald Trump is so different and so unique. He is not a globalist. He is not a one world government type. He rejects all of that. His leaders that he has appointed in his government are also not one worlders. They agree with Donald Trump's position. Donald Trump is about America. He wants a strong America, an independent America, a sovereign America. That is different than what the multi-billionaire cabal wants. They don't seem to want a strong America. They're all for no borders. They're for watching this invasion. Right. As you and I talk, we have never seen an invasion on our southern American border like we're seeing right now. Literally tens of thousands, 100,000 in a month are pouring over. Well, people have never been vetted. We have the highest number of measles cases right now so far this year than we had all of last year. So we're seeing disease, poverty, crime, all pouring into our country. And yet, why is it that the multi-billionaire cabal says this is fine?
But they love it. We're heading into my closing segment in just a moment or two, folks, for this particular program. We're going to continue with part two next week with Michelle Bachman. We'll give you an update on what she's doing as well. She's traveling the world. She's still ministering at the United Nations with some astounding stories coming out of the UN. Good stories. We'll be back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We are always delighted to feature Michelle Bachman on Understanding the Times Radio. Jan and Michelle have been friends and co-workers in ministry for two decades. They love ministering to remnant believers around the world, as well as sharing the truth of the gospel, the lateness of the hour, and a call to holy living to combat the darkening tide of our times. More in just a moment. Why not save the date of Saturday, September 21 for Understanding the Times 2019? Tickets go on sale June 1st for $25 and include lunch. We will be selling general admission seats only and no assigned seating. Speakers this year include Dr. Robert Jeffress, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Jan Markell. They will help you understand the times and become watchmen on the wall. The location, once again, is Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. The teaching is timely, and the fellowship is unparalleled as you make friends for life. Save the date and visit our website's conference page for a list of hotels and other pertinent information. That's olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We hope to meet thousands of you September 21, just outside of Minneapolis.
Your prayers matter. They've made a huge difference on the international level. We need this at the UN. Again, this is a body that is overall anti-Israel. This is a body overall that seeks one world government.
Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman wrap up part one of a two-part series next. Please keep Michelle in prayer as she ministers around the world on behalf of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. She also serves at the United Nations, bringing the gospel to ambassadors and other UN personnel. Here's Jan and Michelle closing off today's programming. Be sure to join us next week on air or online for part two of this programming.
What else do they want to do? They want to destroy capitalism and replace it with socialism. They want to nationalize energy. They call it the Green New Deal. They want to nationalize health care. They call it Medicare for All or single payer. They want a wealth tax. They want a 70 to 90% marginal rate tax on certain individuals. They want free college. They want a guaranteed minimum income from birth. A guaranteed federal job for those who, quote-unquote, can't find one. 3 months of taxpayer-financed family leave. An expansion of Social Security, which is already going to go bankrupt, according to the trustees, in 2034. And I've just gotten started. Donald Trump stands in the way of that utopia, of that paradise. They must destroy him.
And welcome back. We're wrapping up program number one with Michelle Bachman. She'll be back next week. I have to make a comment because we opened the entire program some 40 minutes ago now with a clip from Eric Holder. And he said something like, when I hear these things about let's make America great again, I think to myself, exactly when did you think America was great? Well, Mr. Holder, if I could reply to that, when America got the gospel to the ends of the earth, when America has stood with Israel, voted for independence in 1948, moved her embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem a year ago, when America sent aid to hundreds of nations who were devastated by natural disasters, when we helped liberate Europe during World War II, do I really need to go on much further? When we went to war in the mid-1800s to free the slaves. I mean, Eric Holder, again, he demonstrates the utter insanity of today's leftist lunacy, and that's kind of what Michelle Bachman and I have been talking about here for program number one on Understanding the Times Radio. Let me just quickly say that we've got an active presence on social media. And check it out. Instagram, Olive Tree Ministries on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, extremely active. Check it out. Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries on Facebook. Find us on Twitter at Olive Tree Men. If you do write to us, would you always tell us how you listen? Are you a podcaster? Are you listening to one of our well over 800 stations? Are you listening online on our website? It helps us process things here in the office. The program is posted to our website every Saturday morning. It is also posted Saturday to our YouTube channel under Jan Markell, and we have now added visual images. So we're giving you illustration of what we're talking about on YouTube. It's the only place you can see it on our YouTube channel. Check it out. Again, that's the Jan Markell channel on YouTube, posted on Saturday morning, and we've got tens and tens of thousands watching on YouTube and following on the social media. Now, Michelle, I want to get back because I think we need a little bit of an update, and next week we've got lots of things we've still got to cover. Right now, you are serving as co-chairman of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. You're still serving at the United Nations. You're there frequently. You gave me some stories before we went on air today. You're actually ministering to some ambassadors at the United Nations. One even prayed for salvation thanks to your influence, and you prayed with that particular individual. Talk to us and my audience because they follow you. They pray for you. They write. They send emails. What is Michelle doing? Where is she now? Give us an update on what you're doing.
First of all, thank you to your audience for all the prayers. Never underestimate the power of prayer because it is God at work when we are firing up our prayers. And I have seen it at the United Nations. We've laid a lot of foundation of praise and worship and prayer at the United Nations. And we're seeing now the fruits of that. I did have the opportunity. I've met with over 50 ambassadors now one-on-one at the UN. I make personal meetings with them. There are 193 ambassadors. So I've met with about a fourth of them now at this point. And also we've held different seminars at the United Nations, and we hold small group meetings. We've held church services, and we also hold Bible studies for the over 10,000 permanent employees that are at the United Nations. This is a very strategic place. It is the only place on earth that all the kings and prime ministers and presidents of the earth gather once a year. They gather the third week of September, but then they do their work all throughout the year. So it's a very strategic place to bring the gospel. It's a tough place. I won't kid you, it's been a very tough place, but you begin with prayer, praise, and worship and prayer, and we are seeing that the fruits. Just recently, I had a chance to pray with three young people. There were people who gave their personal stories of being transformed by Jesus Christ after the people had made their profession of faith in front of a group. We had young people, over 30 young people, rush up to the table afterwards and tell us they were from South America, Central America, Mexico. They said, we've never heard this before, because everything that gets pushed on them is everything but man-woman marriage, the pro-abortion agenda, the culture of death. And they said, we've never heard this before. This is all new to us. And so I just was prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask if I could pray for salvation with some of those kids. And I did. I prayed one-on-one for salvation with some of these young people. Now they'll be going back to their nations as new creatures in Jesus Christ, and they will impact their world. And so what this is little by little, bit by bit, never despise small beginnings. And we're seeing this at the UN. And so what I'm saying to all of you who are listening is your prayers matter. They've made a huge difference on the international level. We need this at the UN. Again, this is a body that is overall anti-Israel. This is a body overall that seeks one world government. This is where we need to have prayer, especially right now in God's time clock in the prophetic history that the Bible has written, prehistory. We need your prayers. So that is on that score. Also, as the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, we are going all over the world right now, meeting with leaders, with presidents, with prime ministers, with kings, even in Muslim countries.
I know you
to
are.
Talk with them. This
Very
is unbelievable,
impressive.
The doors that God has opened. To talk with these leaders about having a pro-Israel perspective in conformity with Genesis 12:3.
Who's going with you? Who are some of the others that are speaking as you are?
I had mentioned to you I'd gone with Joel Rosenberg.
Yes.
That wasn't for Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast. That was for Joel Rosenberg's thing. I've gone also with Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast, where we've met also in Muslim countries. Mm-hmm. I won't say the name of the country for certain reasons, but we are going and we are making a pro-Israel pitch to them to work with Israel, to bless Israel, if you will. And also regarding Jerusalem, we're asking them to consider moving their embassy to Jerusalem. And we've seen it. We've seen it with Guatemala. We've seen it with Honduras. Just this last Monday, Romania announced that they're moving their embassy. These are steps that no one ever thought possible 2 years ago. And now the United States, the biggest nation, the most powerful nation on earth, made that opening announcement to Israel, but now other nations are following suit. And so really what we're seeing out is the playing out of Joel chapter 3 and Matthew 25, 31 through 33, which is the separating of goat and sheep nations. And the basis for a nation to be either a goat or a sheep nation is whether or not they are favorable toward Zion, whether they bless Zion. We're seeing that in effect is a warning, and it is reaching out with that word to nations that now is the chance to turn to be either a sheep and make the choice, because from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, man has had choice. We've had free will. We get to choose life or we get to choose death. And part of what we're doing with the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast is going around the world to speak with leaders on their nation coming into a time of blessing as opposed to a time
what
of
do you,
cursing.
What do you have coming up as far as travel?
Well,
I know you're going around the world.
I am. Mm-hmm. I have recently been in Norway, where I spoke on national television for an hour. I gave the gospel, believe it or not, on national TV in Norway. I gave the gospel and I talked about the Christian heritage, how Christianity came to Norway, and then how Norwegians brought Christianity to the United States and blessed the United States. So I've done that, but I will be going to the United States to speak in San Antonio. I'll I'll be speaking in South Carolina. I'll be going to the Ukraine. I'll be going to Israel. I'll be going to Iraq. I'll be going to Uganda. I'll be going to Israel again. I'll be speaking at The Hague. I'll be speaking in Amsterdam. So God has opened up doors of opportunity like never before to spread this message and to talk about the day and time that we live in, that this is the time for nations to get right with God. That's really what this is, for nations having the opportunity to get right with God.
How can my audience pray for you? Because they follow you. How can they pray for you?
What I would ask for prayer for myself and for them is that God gives us the ears to hear and the insight to live out our faith. That's what's really been struck with me lately, how imperative it is for each one of us, whatever our sphere of influence, that we are living out the faith, living out Christianity, living out the truth of the Bible. If we are that living letter wherever He has placed us, this whole world gets turned upside down. That's what happened with the original apostles, that the world was turned upside down because they became living letters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we can do. If each one of us does that, quite literally, it won't be us that does it. And that's the first thing you realize. It has nothing to do with us as individuals. It has everything with us being like a garden hose, and the Holy Spirit is like the water that comes through the hose. So think of it that way. All we are is the vessel. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that does the work. So open ourselves up and we will see the gospel transform lives. I've probably had more freedom in my life in the last year or two with presenting the gospel, sharing what the gospel is and asking people to pray to receive salvation. I've probably been more free lately than ever before in my life. And I want to encourage people, it doesn't have to be weird or creepy. It is very simply just speaking truth to people, and it happens. People are hungry for the Word of God.
Folks, we're going to pick this up again next week in part two of my two-part series with Michelle Bachman. We want to encourage you even greater next week because there are incredible things going on around the world. I know we see dark headlines, but we've got to see beyond some of those headlines, and we'll talk more about that on next week's programming. It says in Isaiah 33:6 that only God is the stability of our times. Politicians are not. Statesmen are not. Kings and generals come and go. God wants to offer you stability as well. Michelle's been talking about that here, this closing segment. He also wants to become your Lord, your Savior, and to take control of any life that is headed off course. Turn to Him today. No one is promised tomorrow. Eternity is a very long time, and particularly in the wrong place. So I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
We know you'll want to tune in again next week as we bring you part two of our programming. Contact us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can contact us online at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. At 763-559-4444. Thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio. We are drowning in fake news, false teaching, and corruption in high places. We encourage you to hold on to the truth of the gospel and be salt and light in a darkening world.